And you have done it all, performing with the world's top orchestras, now releasing your 35th album. Where do you look at this point to get inspiration for your recording projects?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so thrilled that some of my favorite music was recorded. And there's just so many projects always running, cursing through my veins, running through my head. You know, if I could, I would be recording 2 or 3 albums a year. But I try to limit and contain myself. And, you know, this latest project of Fantasia is such a culmination of many years of collaboration with different composers, including Rautavaara, Aino Juhani Rautavaara's music that I have loved for my whole life, practically.
Tell us a little bit about how you first discovered his music.
I would regularly go on hunting missions, seeking out new music and underrepresented composers and music that just, you know, made the hairs on my neck kind of stand up. And I would go to record stores and just buy hundreds of CDs and bring them back to my apartment. And one of these recordings featured Rautavaara's beautiful Cantus Arcticus, or Concerto for Birds and Orchestra. And I was so struck by the unbelievable colors and beauty of his going into a bird preserve and recording these birds singing and chirping and inserting it into the music. And it just left such a deep impression on me. I would, you know, hit repeat and just listen over and over and over and cry to this poetic beauty, a beautiful masterpiece. And, you know, I've worked with many different living composers, but it wasn't until 2015 when I was thinking about Rautavaara again and wondering what he was up to. And he was 85 years old at the time. And I approached his publishing company and I said, you know, would he have any interest in possibly writing a shorter work for violin and orchestra, about a 15-minute fantasy? And he immediately said yes. And I was so stunned by the response. I very soon after received the score, and I ran to my room and, you know, was so excited to play through it. Like, what did he write? What did he write? What amazing. And it's still handwritten. As soon as I started playing it, I thought, oh my God, this sounds very much like the Concerto for Birds and Orchestra. And I was so excited to and eager to meet him and to play it for him. And in December of 2015, I flew to Helsinki, and he opened the door of his apartment, and we spoke about knowing Sibelius and how he went to the Juilliard School, the same school as me, and all these different things. And then I played the work for him, and he turned around and he said, "Really, I just wrote such a beautiful, beautiful work." And I could not agree more.
And what are some of the things that our listeners can focus in on when they listen to this work?
There's such a deep force within the piece where you feel incredible, majestic scenes from nature. I think nature was such an important part of his musical creation and creativity. And, you know, when I went to Helsinki for the first time, I was so struck also by the light there. You really do feel like you kind of have entered the edge of the earth when you go to this Arctic Circle. And the mist and the fog and the ocean and the harbor being right outside his apartment window, seeing cruise ships coming in and out and forests throughout Finland, and the cold and the purity of the air, you know, you feel all those things in this composition.
So a lot of scenes of nature, definitely.
Yes. Yes.
Now, there are other works on the album. You've got the violin concerto by Carol Szymanowski and, of course, the famous Cigan by Maurice Ravel.
Yes. I actually played the Ravel Cigan in Richmond at the start of my touring year this year. And the Ravel is such a tour de force. It's the story of a gypsy pouring out her heart about her hardships and, you know, how tired she is of traveling and the love that she's lost. And it's this 4-minute cadenza that begins with the solo violin. And then the orchestra comes in, the harp comes in, like this tidal wave of sound. And then it turns into Tom and Jerry cartoon, like towards the end. It's just like, who's going to get to the end first? You know, who's going to get through that green light first? Such amazing coloristic writing. And I think that's what I really wanted to showcase on this album was the unifying theme of color. What master colorists these three composers were, Rautavaara, Szymanowski, and Ravel, to be able to tell a story using so much, such a wide variety and palette of color makes my life so fun.
And you do a lot of commissioning of new works that remains very important to you to this date, doesn't it?
Yes. Right now, I'm about to premiere a new violin concerto by a young composer who's based out of Los Angeles named Adam Schoenberg. He just sent me like the first movement last week and this beautiful picture that went with it of the orchard in fog. And, you know, to be able to just discuss these ideas one-on-one really helps inspire the backstory and the weight of the composition in my mind and in my heart. So that I'm better able to express it to the audience. And that's what's so motivating and inspiring about working with living composers today.
And of particular interest to our Richmond audience, of course, is probably composer Mason Bates. I know we've talked about him before, but for those that might not be familiar with your collaboration with him, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. I originally asked Mason to give me new cadenzas for the Beethoven Violin Concerto. I was really kind of actually tired of the standard cadenzas that are attached to that concerto. And he wrote really amazing, only in his signature style and language that is Mason, these amazing cadenzas. And I just recently performed them in Japan. But then we discussed the idea of a violin concerto and, you know, the time it takes to plant the seed and then for it to actually give birth, you know, like to become a child into the world and take on its own life. It takes many, many years of incubation. So from the time that we discussed the violin concerto to it coming to fruition, I think was about 7 years. And he wrote his first ever concerto for any instrument for me. And it's an amazing story of a hybrid flying dinosaur called the Archaeopteryx that takes flight. And I have performed it all over the world. I mean, I've played it in Richmond. I've played it throughout the U.S., New Zealand, Lyon, France. It's an amazing concerto. And I love playing it.
Well, Anne, thank you for taking some time to talk with us today. We always enjoy having you here in Richmond, and I hope we get to see you again really soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mike.